You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Brooke Gladstone, sitting in for Leonard Lopate, and the program has been wonderful in actually serving me in all my obsessions, one of which is Ireland, where I've never been and always wanted to go. When Colin McPherson's play The Weir premiered on Broadway in 1999, it was both a critical and commercial success, and now thanks to a wonderful revival at the Irish Repertory Theater on West 22nd Street, you too can experience the small gem of a play. I really loved it. It's set in a country pub where five people gather one windy night, and I'm so glad it brings one of the actors, Dan Butler, who plays Jack, and Ciarán O'Reilly, who's directed it and who co-founded the theater 25 seasons ago. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What was so extraordinary about the play is that it's really people telling stories in a bar. Mm. And, you know, that could go in any direction, as it actually happens in real bars. But I felt like I was in a real bar in some remote corner of Ireland, and the mood was completely encompassing. And I wonder whether that was difficult. Ciarán?
I put it down to the wonderful actors that I have on the stage. It's a difficult enough thing to because you have to, where there's complete naturalism going on, where there's people just do go in and actually have a drink. It's very hard to be natural sometimes on stage, and that's a great gift. And I suppose that's what every actor aspires towards, is to be real.
I wonder if McPherson's play is as strong when you read it, or does it have to be spoken?
Mm. Well, Dan? I think it's both. I mean, it's very strong when you read it, but every play, it's literature, but it's supposed to be performed and told. And his storytelling ability, I think it's that wonderful quality that Ciarán just said about being natural, but it's like doing verse. I mean, he's very precise with his punctuation, and that honoring that is really an in to the characters. You go, oh, that's the rhythm. Oh, I understand this now through the music of the words.
Have you done an Irish accent before?
No.
I know that. I noticed in the program that you employ the same dialect coach for almost everything you do, right?
We do indeed. Stephen Gibbs, yes.
And, you know, Dan, you're probably best known to American audiences for playing Bulldog.
Yes, I guess it's always out there.
It'll always be out there on Frasier. But you were entirely who you were supposed to be, and I know that some of the actors were.
I feel really great when people come to the people have come to the theater and said, you know, there's a couple people up there that are not Irish, and goes, well, he's definitely got to be Irish. yes, I feel successful.
Did you have a particular sentence that you found very difficult to say? I ask this question because in college I was in Writers to the Sea, and I had the worst Irish accent in the history of the unit. It was like, a young priest is off to bring in the message. It's a shark in the plain stocking. We've got off a Dresden in Donegal. I know it's hard. And I just wondered, you know, was there a particular speech or a sound or anything that really...
No, Ciarán was really excellent in the... I knew I had gotten the music of it, but every once in a while a Midwestern sound would come out. So it's just honing it. And Stephen, our dialect coach, was really, really helpful. And also to be around the three other guys are from Ireland. Now, they had to sort of hone theirs, too, because they were from different parts of Ireland. Mm-hmm.
They tried to start sounding like they were from Indiana.
That's what it is. I want you to start speaking Irish now, Dan. Ciarán, you noted in an author's note that McPherson was inspired by a visit to his granddad, who lived on his own and would tell stories after a drink. And McPherson wrote, "And then when you're lying in the bed in the pitch black silence of the Irish countryside, it's easy for the imagination to run riot. I felt different there." What is it about these stories, you think, that makes them particularly Irish? Is it the loneliness of the night?
Well, it's one of the things, the title of the play is called The Weir, which is it's a dam that that creates electricity, that creates light. So in the absence of light, there is darkness. That and in that darkness, the spirits sort of emerge, and different things, different stories are told. So in this play, when five lonely people sort of come together and unleash stories to themselves, sometimes for the very, very first time that it happened that night, there are stories that had been told over and over, but there are particular stories that have been told to other people for the very first time. And there is something about the darkness outside and the winds whistling outside and the fairy world that's still trotting around in those desolate lands around County Leitrim, where Connor's grandfather came from and where it's so specific. It's also very close to Yeats' country, you know, there where, and he certainly celebrated those spirits over the years. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers the story.
Well, I understand now that the weir, in this case, is the bar, which is generating its own kind of light.
Exactly. It absolutely is. And it's not only, it's generating light, it's also shedding light on the human spirit and the frailties of the various characters that are there. And people, I think, become stronger from it. People who come to view the play, the characters themselves become stronger just by the power of the story, the power of the word.
I'm Brooke Gladstone, sitting in for Leonard Lopate, and we are talking about Connor McPherson's play The Weir with Dan Butler and Kieran O'Reilly. Dan, there are four men, all of whom know each other, and one woman who is a newcomer who affects the dynamics of the group. Mm. It seems to me, though, that Dan is the conscience, in a way, or rather the imposer of rules of appropriate speech. He seems to be aware of a code that he wants the group to follow, and they don't. Do you
mean
feel
Jack?
Like,
Jack, the
Jack,
character.
Jack, yes. You're Dan.
I'm inseparable. I certainly create a lot of conflict and move things along. It's, you know, a lot of people in this play have frozen places or haunted places that, and I may want another person, another character to change. But as happens in life, that really can't happen. If you want someone to go to a new place, usually you have to go to a new place to bring that about. And usually for you to go to a new place is not that comfortable. So that's what's wonderful about this night. You know, the stories, each one inspires the next one. And everyone sort of ups the stakes where we're going. And it gets to a point, you know, when we've been doing this for over 50 performances now, that there's sort of a delight where you start the evening out and go, well, let's see where this goes tonight.
So does it change from performance to performance?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, the audience is another character. But yes, it's I really feel that, yes, you've done your work and you know the structure of the play, but you enter with the day you're in. It's going to be a little bit different. It should be different. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful play.
Can you tell me how the performances range in tone then? I mean, they're telling the same stories. Do they tell? I mean, when actors come in and it's a whole new performance and a whole new range of possibilities, which the theater always offers, live theater. But I just wonder, what's this emotional spectrum that this play can run from performance to performance?
Well, again, we've gone through rehearsal and you know the basic structure. It's not going to be a completely new play. However, it surprises you. I think it surprises you like this. It's the writing that it takes you to places you don't expect to go. And I think most of the times as an actor, from my experience, you just want to get to the place where you get out of your own way, that you don't impose your idea of something. You try to meld it with the author. And there's a reason this part has come into my life right now. And there's a reason I'm doing this play. And I may not know what it is, but, you know.
Yes, you do. You're just not saying.
No, I may have certain ideas about it, but that's one of the things I'm so grateful about being an actor, that my profession and the parts sort of teach me lessons I need to learn. And it's not up to me the way I learn these lessons. So. And it's a great cast. We so care for one another so deeply. And, you know, there have been things that have happened, you know, things like taps not working and that we just take in stride. And no one at all in the audience at all knows that a major mishap has occurred.
Well,
the,
I mean, a tap not working is a big part of the, of the opening scene there. Now, as you mentioned, Dan, with each story, the stakes seem to be upped until you get to the newcomer, Tessa, and her story. And she seems to make everybody self-conscious. She puts things off balance, like she asks for white wine, which created quite a ruckus. The bartender had to go into the house to get it.
Well, and like you said, a woman in this setting. It's a male world.
So what are the purposes of this? I mean, the stories start out as entertainment, but they don't end up that way. They change in purpose as they go along, right, Karen?
Yes, they do. It seems to be unleash it by it starts, the first story that's told is one that's sort of more on the folklore end of it. Then the next one gets, it's still living in the other spirits world, but it gets to be more personal.
Don't give too much away.
I will not give it. No, I would not want to do that. And then it gets to be almost to be the ultimate personal story is told by the newcomer. And she seems to be empowered by these stories to be able to tell it, you know. And it's what makes the magic.
Some reviewers have described the production as both devastating and heartening at the same time.
Yeah, it is. Well, I know that there's a certain part of this play that each night, and I've directed it, so I've seen it many, many times, I still cry. I can't help it. I absolutely find myself in floods of tears and have to leave. So how bad of a director am I? I can't even stay in the room.
No.
But there's nothing like a wonderful Irish playwright like Conor McPherson that in the midst of all this, there's laughter too, which is like the ultimate sign
of
life. You know, that both are true. I just marvel at that. I love it.
It is really funny. And the characters are so familiar, which is, even if you've never encountered anybody like that, their philosophies, their conditions in life, they're so familiar that you're so on their side, all of them. Even the pompous rich guy who used to live there and went and brought Tessa in. It was extraordinary.
We all know those characters.
Dan, how can it be that this is your Irish rep debut?
I know. I wonder, too. I feel humbled that I was aware of Irish Rep, but I had never seen anything, and I had never been to Irish Rep, and I feel really blessed that...
You'd never been to Irish Rep?
I know,
he
I
came
know.
In and he
Get out!
He came into the audition, and he talked about what a fan he was of the Irish Rep.
Well, I had heard nothing. I mean, everyone I talk to has such a warm place in their heart for it, and the posters, the heritage, and that it's the 25th anniversary. I feel very privileged being there, and you know, I hope it's the first of many.
Do people still recognize you as Bulldog from Frasier?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, on the street.
Only on the street.
Yeah. How long is the run?
Well, the big news is we're extending through September 8th.
Wonderful.
And we have a show downstairs as well called Gibraltar in our studio theater, which is a two-person version of Ulysses, which I'd like just to give a shout-out to. And it's doing very well down there.
Mm. And so just one last quick question. They are basically monologues. With people reacting, right? I mean, people are telling their stories.
Well, the story is part of it, but it's the lead-up.
Yeah, the lead-up is long.
Certainly not monologue.
I just wonder if when they're telling their stories, was that hard to deal with? Because I never felt that the actors were waiting. Everybody felt fully engaged at every moment when someone else was speaking.
Well, you know, he was commissioned to do this play, Connor, and he was told by the people that one thing they did not want from him is a monologue play, because he was quite famous for doing just monologues. So he wrote The Weir instead, which is definitely not solely monologues, but it certainly has that element.
Well, I recommend any listener who loves Ireland to see this play because you'll feel like you got there for at least, what is it, 90 minutes?
90 minutes, yeah.
90 minutes. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with director Ciarán O'Reilly and actor Dan Butler about The Weir, which is playing at the Irish Repertory Theatre through August 4th. Oh, sorry, September 8th. Ticket information is available at the Leonard LoPage show page at wnyc.org. And once again, it's been a pleasure speaking with you both today.